recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
This week, the podcast goes international for the very first time as we travel all the way to Australia to talk to one half of Junk Shop Dog, the manufacturers of Sofubi wrestling figures, including the now legendary Bruiser Brody. I'm excited to have this time with Adam, and he's here with me now. So without any further ado, that interview starts right now. Adam, how are you doing?
Great, Tim. Thanks for having me on. And I'm very well, thank you. How's yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking the time. I know I've had scheduling conflicts, and I appreciate your patience and hopping on with me for this.
No, just happy to be here, mate.
How's everything down in Australia?
It's good. It's good. I think it's a bit of a different world down here, in that the menace that's causing all manner of problems in many other parts of the world is somewhat under control, and hopefully we can all it can stay that way. And I think we've done a reasonable job down here in keeping it under control.
I think we're finally starting to turn a corner up here as well. But anyway. Enough of the depressing stuff. Let's get into the good stuff. When did you get into wrestling first?
I think mainly when I started to go head first, probably around 1998. I think a lot of people did in Australia, because it was on pay TV at the time, but over the summer, everyone was at home over the holidays. Well, all school kids are. And one of the free-to-air networks put on Survivor Series 98. So this was the first exposure a lot of people had to WWF at the time. I kind of got sucked in straight away to Mankind's chase for the belt that night. And from then on in, I was kind of hooked.
I know that the WWE or WWF at the time has kind of been the main deal here in the States anyway. And of course, there's people that follow international wrestling as well. But you've kind of gotten more of a taste of the Japanese style out there. Did that come quickly after you were introduced to WWE, or did you get bored with that? Or how did you discover the Japanese wrestling?
Oh, I wasn't so much bored with it. I think it was just that around that time the internet was was becoming accessible to us, and there was a whole new world of information about wrestling and tape trading, and it was just very exciting, and I wanted to try and take in as much as I could. So there was ECW and these Japanese tapes available that I'd never heard of. So started to dip my toe in the subsequent years, and getting those high spots compilations and that kind of thing. And I took to it immediately. I mean, obviously there's a language barrier, but given that Japanese wrestling is very heavily based on the quality of match rather than heavy talking. It was reasonably easy to get into.
So did WWE or WWF or any of the, was it New Japan that you first clicked onto, or did any of those Japanese promotions come to Australia, or just WWF, WWE?
No Japanese promotions came until New Japan didn't come till I think about 2017 or 18, but WWE started to tour regularly in the early 2000s. So that was my first taste of big time wrestling, and I think we got treated to some pretty cool stuff, even though it was just I guess house shows predominantly. Getting to see Ric Flair and The Undertaker and, Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero, a I probably didn't realize at the time how lucky we were.
Well said. I think I was talking to a previous guest that was recollecting one of his early shows, and it was, man, the who's who of the guys you just mentioned and then some, and not to slight any of the guys today, but holy cow, that was a special era we got to see. What were the first figures you collected as far as wrestling figures go once you got into it or discovered it back in 98? Did you launch into a certain line or kind of a hodgepodge? Or
I was very much a late bloomer. But what did happen is, you know, upon amassing as many wrestling tapes as I could, was the ones that were easy to get were Coliseum videos, the WWF official videos from the 80s and 90s. And at the start of a lot of the videos in the early 90s were the ads for the Hasbro figures. And I just thought they were amazing. I mean, you know, they looked great, that cartoony style and the, you know, those in-your-face commercials. And I thought, oh, geez, that'd be great one day. But obviously, we're at a point where they were no longer available for sale retail. eBay wasn't as much of a thing then. And, you know, a school kid's, you know, at 16, 17, you know, he's got to worry about, you know, how he's going to get a six-pack of beer and that kind of stuff at that point. So it was more later when I, you know, when you start to work and get your own income, and I thought, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind having a couple of those Hasbro figures. And it wasn't until much later on that I started to collect those seriously. And from then, I started to look in all different, you know, nooks and crannies of the world to try and build my Hasbro collection. And and I guess, you know, that's where I happened upon figures, you know, widespread in Japan, you know, the Kara Pros and that kind of thing.
And who did you take a liking to in Japan? You mentioned it was Mick Foley and the WWE, WWF, but who, was there anybody in particular, or just the whole idea of it, or what, you know, what grabbed you and sucked you into the Japanese wrestling that you discovered?
Well, when I started watching at early doors, I mean, there was so much to choose from, because this is, you know, the early 2000s. So at the time, there was a lot of wrestling available. There was All Japan, there was New Japan, there was Noah, 01, which was all available, you know, through tape traders. There was this back catalogue of, you know, great juniors matches with Jushin Liger and going as far back as Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid, little would we know. You know, and then it's probably not until, you know, more recently that I've really started to gain an appreciation for the All Japan heavyweights, the Misawas, Kobashis, and even going further back, I mean, both my wife and I, the other half of Junk Shop Dog, have retaken in the Brody and Anoki series lately, and have really started to gain an appreciation for that.
Was your wife already a wrestling fan before you guys got together, or is that something you guys did together, or did you have to sell her into it, or how did tell us about that?
She wasn't completely alien to it. She had some idea of who these wrestlers were, and had been to a few local wrestling shows when we met in New Zealand. But yeah, I think this has taken it. This has certainly taken it to another level. I think by having exposure to this world of Japanese wrestling, she's really started to have an appreciation for not just the wrestling itself, but the aesthetics of the All Japan women of the 80s and 90s. Ball Dump and her crew taking on the Crush Gals, just the brutality of it, and just the way those storylines played out, and the look and feel, and even the, you know, the musical aspect, you know, slash idol aspect to it, I think really appeals to her. And now she's got her own wrestling figure collection, which is pretty much exclusively females and or flamboyant male characters.
Oh, interesting. What? So give me an idea of what would be like some of the flamboyant male characters.
It's almost entirely Gold Dust, but
that's awesome.
But Dennis Rodman's figures, both WCW and his basketball figures, have made an appearance as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've said this before, but I was a huge fan, still am, of the original, kind of the early stage Gold Dust before, I guess they got to a point where they thought they had already done it and they kind of went in different directions. But that original Mysterious Gold Dust to me is one of the best of all time. So that's pretty awesome to have in the collection. They've got some pretty good looking figures too.
Oh, absolutely. We love his character, and we're pretty big fans of the Rhodes family in general. But yeah, just the not just the character, the way he played it, but also yeah, the fact that the toys, they really stand out.
Yeah. So is the WWE product readily available in Australia, or what kind of stores do you find that stuff in, if any, or is it mostly online?
Yeah. It's patchy. It's patchy. Some of the larger retailers do have it in from time to time, and thankfully there's a really good community in Australia, and there's a Facebook group called Figs Down Under, which is a couple of hundred strong of diehards that collect wrestling figures, both modern and not so modern. But so basically it's a matter of keeping an eye out on there for to hear, oh well, you know, Elite 83's, you know, come to my local Big W or Target store, and then you start getting on the lookout. But I mean, that's not to say that every Elite series comes through. The AEW figures have been somewhat available, just Series 3. And some of the retros were patchy. The Masters of the Universe never came. So yeah, it's kind of a case of you get what you can here, and then if you're into any other lines, it's all online.
Okay, so do you guys have, you know, like we had Toys R Us out here? Do you guys have legitimate toy stores, or is it more of like a, you know, like a box store, as we call them, like a Walmart or a Target, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have. Target is basically our biggest, alongside a shop called Big W. There are toy stores, but they are more specialty, and as a result, they don't have the you know, the competitive prices that the biggest stores have. There is a store called Toymate, which sometimes gets in AEW figures, and is it's one of those things where they can get some weird overflow stock. So even when we're up to the 70s in the Elites, they were getting, you know, some of the 40s series and for cheap. So, you know, it's kind of a thing where you go in hoping for something and you might get lucky. Toys R Us shut down around the same time in Australia that it did America. So I think we're all feeling the pain still.
Okay, yeah, that's been pretty brutal out here, and especially once the pandemic hit, it became nearly impossible for some of us to find anything, even at Target or Walmart. You'd get one set, and scalpers would come by and grab the whole case and put them on eBay, and we've all been at the mercy for a while. So I've actually found some figures on eBay from Australia that were pretty decently priced. Like, I think there was a Demolition figure, maybe Axe or Smash, I can't remember, but it was relatively fairly priced. So you guys are doing a good job down there. As far as the name Junk Shop Dog, where does that come from? Or does that have a special meaning? Or is it just something you know, like my name, I just kind of picked on a whim, and now I wish I had picked something better, because it's like the dumbest name in the world. But does Junk Shop Dog carry a special meaning, or is it just a name you put together and that's what you ran with?
I didn't actually come up with it. It was definitely Portia. My wife, we were just trying to throw around ideas, because at that point we were toying with the idea of starting up an Instagram. I wasn't that familiar with Instagram, but she was, and she was you know, explaining that it's quite a good way to sell things without the fees associated with eBay. So and we're throwing ideas around, and I said, oh, you know, what are we going to call the web, you know, the Instagram to sell all this junk? And effectively that you know, sparked an idea in her head, and that came from that came the I guess the, you know, toying around with Sylvester Ritter's ring name, and we became Junk Shop Dog from there on in.
Nice. Yeah, that's it's got a cool ring to it, and it fits well with what you guys are doing. And then so from there you got the name, and how long ago or what got you into the idea of putting the figures together yourself, coming out with your own line of figures?
I think, you know, I mentioned that we'd, you know, come across the Kara Pro range, and I think it was just a case of once we got the inkling that people were interested in these figures from Japan, we started to, you know, research the actual figures more. I'd heard some, you know, a little bit about the Poppy figures, obviously because it was, you know, this great roster, and people consider the 81 Poppy to be Hogan's first figure. We started to, you know, see how available these figures were, and once we actually started to get them in and have one in my hand, I was really taken by it. I love the design, I love the paint decoration, the little bits and pieces like the, you know, the stamp on the back with the brand and the wrestler's name. Just everything about it, it's so Japanese. The roster was, you know, tremendous. I think you'd struggle to find a better 10 wrestler set anywhere, and the great crossover of these guys that were, you know, famous both in Japan and the States as well. So the more we started to, you know, buy and sell these figures, and we, you know, what I thought was a wacky idea, I threw it at Portia and said, well, what if we, you know, what if we had a go at making our own figure? By then we had some sort of a relationship, a friendship with Barbara Goodish, Bruiser Brody's widow, and he seemed an ideal first subject for a figure, because he fit in with that time frame. He looks great as a figure, and once we started to talk to her more, we started to realize that the Kara Pros and Medicoms that had subsequently come out of Bruiser Brody, they didn't pay any royalties or anything. So she was really open to working with us on something where, you know, something that continues the legacy of Brody, and, you know, something where she can, you know, she can offer a little bit of money to the family, just, you know, given that So many Brody things have been bootlegged in the past, you know, 30 years.
Absolutely, man. That's they deserve the money. I mean, like you said, getting all that stuff ripped off, and him unfortunately passing the way he did, they were probably, you know, shorted quite a bit of money had his career not been cut short. So that's a wonderful thing. So it's kind of two beautiful stories in one, really.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not a case of Mrs. Goodish wanting to get rich or anything. It's just, you know, just people paying their due for, you know, people are making money off the image. So, you know, just you know, give a little bit back, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think it's great. And so you started off with the Bruiser, and you don't, of course, I'm not asking you who, if for any names or anything like that, but so have you guys got an agreement with other people beyond that moving? I know that obviously everybody's seen the Dynamite Kid announcement, and that's going to be amazing, because I know that's, you know, one of those guys that everybody that's been into wrestling for a long time unanimously love, and his WWE career as well as internationally. And then I also noticed that you had the women's figure, that announcement coming up, but Is there others that you're in negotiations with or already have something lined up, or where do you go from there?
Well, yeah, so obviously Dynamite is our next figure, but that will be in a group of three. We're just sorting out final prototypes and everything. But effectively there'll be three. So there'll be Dynamite, there will be a women's figure, which we're really excited about, but much like the Dynamite kid, we wanted some sort of video announcement, which we'd love to offer up. If we can get that, we will announce it as soon as possible. And there will be a third figure in that wave, I guess you'd say. And that person is also still alive, so we'd love to do some sort of announcement as well. We're expecting to do within 2021. We're hoping to have a full series two done. So obviously Brody was the first, three more to come, and then that would leave six more, which we're in negotiations to fill that roster. Three of which are already in the process of production. Two are at the prototype stage, so hopefully we can show some images soon. We're very, very excited about who the next three are as well. And we think they're definitely big crossover stars both in Japan and the United States on a national stage. So keep an eye out for those. And we did hint at one of them recently. And then there'll be a third wave, hopefully by the end of the year. And we've got one more modern name signed up there, and then hopefully trying to finalize another couple, and that'll sew up series two. So hopefully, you know, people are enjoying these figures and are, you know, happy to keep collecting them, because that'll ensure we complete that series and beyond.
I think you're answering, or fill, like you said, maybe a better term would be you're filling a void or filling a hole that a lot of collectors have. And, you know, the Mattels or the Hasbros of the world were never going to do the job that you're doing. So it's pretty cool to see like a fan making stuff for fans, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And obviously the one qualifier for subjects in our figure line are that these people have wrestled in Japan. So it's not just people that it's not just Americans or Europeans that are collecting these. We've had a lot of interest from Japan. We've got a great relationship with the merchandise store Hao Ming in Tokyo, and they sold a bunch of Brody figures, and we're working with them as well to see who who would have crossover appeal and helping us with talent. So so I think it's important for us to have these figures that appeal to both Japanese and American collectors. Some will appeal more to Japanese collectors, some will appeal more to American collectors. So but I think it's a line that predominantly will cover wrestlers that may not be in the WWE limelight, and ones that are will cover them in these guises that they wrestled in Japan. And so you may not necessarily be familiar with the Dynamite Kid that we're going to offer up, because that's the way he wrestled in Japan.
That's pretty awesome. And I've been a fan for a long time, and for whatever reason, I guess maybe because most of the internet stuff wasn't around in my younger days. I'm an old man, but I just never latched on to the Japanese wrestling for whatever reason. I guess I was so entrenched in NWA, WWE that was kind of like, okay, I've already got a belly full. I can't handle taking on anymore. So I never really got into it until these later years, and I wouldn't describe myself as a huge fan, but I definitely appreciate and have learned, the British Bulldogs didn't just show up in WWE. There's this whole precursor of the Dynamite Kid, which it's cool to learn about all this later on, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if you are into the 80s and 90s, I think now's a great time because it's basically all at your fingertips. I mean, you know, with the advents of New Japan World, and whilst I know the TV rights to All Japan pre the Noah split are a little bit funny. I mean, the bulk of the big matches are on YouTube, so it's a great time to get into it if you haven't previously. And you know, if the product, the modern wrestling product, is not for you and it's not for everyone, I mean, there's all this great old wrestling that's at your fingertips now. So hopefully, you know, even if people weren't necessarily into, you know, old Japanese wrestling, well, maybe, you know, us having these figures will make one or two people decide to maybe just check it out on YouTube.
Absolutely. This next segment I'm especially excited about because I do a segment where I ask my guests what they have found in the wild at their stores, on the internet, Amazon, what have you. And you're my first guest outside of the United States, so that'll be fun because it's going to be obviously a little bit different than what we're used to. What did you find out in the wild or online over the past week or so to add into your collection, Adam?
Well, it's a bit of both. Because it'll also be a shameless plug for the Instagram. But we've managed to procure a nice lot of Kara Pros lately. Some Muta figures, some Liger figures, Vader. So a bit of a who's who. So they'll be coming in next week. Onto the Instagram page. Some nice high-end Hayabusa figures as well. But in terms of the actual collection, I'm expecting in the mail in the not too distant future one of the last pieces of the puzzle, for me anyway, a Bullmark JWA Mr. Zed, which I know is a very obscure figure line and figure reference, but in the 1960s, the soft vinyl, which, you know, is the style that we make today, it was very common to have a little bit larger figures, and Bullmark made half a dozen different wrestling figures from the from Japan Pro Wrestling, or JWA. And we were lucky enough to get the fifth of the six, so we've only got Antonio Inoki, which admittedly is the most expensive find. We've just got him to go, and we've got a complete six of Bullmark JWA figures. So obviously, you know, our tastes can be a bit obscure, but by the same token, we're also still yet to complete a loose Hasbro collection. But given that a lot of our shopping is done in the Far East, you know, we come up with a few of these gems from time to time, and yeah, that we're pretty wrapped to come across that one.
Is that Antonio Inoki? I mean, is that even obtainable? These are foreign to me. I haven't seen him. Is that something that's, you know, you might see and go, well, I don't know if I want to pull the trigger, that's a little pricey, or is it just almost nearly impossible to find one?
I was lucky or unlucky enough to have one in my hand when I was last in Japan. We went into a store that specializes in vintage toys and vintage soft vinyl, and basically, given the prices that they were, I had to make the choice. It was either Giant Baba or Antonio Inoki, both in almost not played with condition. And we're talking about, you know, 55-year-old toys here. barber was a little bit more affordable. I could only get one of them, and I chose barber. Maybe because he was a little cheaper, maybe because, you know, I do have that soft spot for All Japan. But yeah, so, you know, we can only hope that when we get to Tokyo next time, no one else has pulled the trigger on that Inoki either. But we probably see him in people's collections maybe once a year. We also see him pop up, you know, through some of the wrestling stores in Japan. Not typically played with, so it's very common, particularly with old soft vinyl, to see the child's name written on the somewhere on the figure. Heavy play wear, but yeah, so this one was nearly pristine, so it's been a tough one to wrangle since you know, not pulling the trigger on both, but I think in the end I made the right call.
So you'll hope that it'll be there the next time you go back. And is that the only time that you've seen them, like online and or in the wild, was there? Or is it something is there like a handful of these things out there, or is it just that's the only place you've seen it?
They do pop up from time to time, but rarely in good condition.
Gotcha. Yeah, as old as it is, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Is there like a, you know, I guess some people will call that their Mount Rushmore, or their, you know, top group of guys. Is there four or five guys you mentioned for your wife, like, you know, the Rodmans and the Goldust and stuff? Is there a group of guys that mean more to you as far as guys that you enjoy collecting or wish were made so that you could collect them, that sort of thing?
I think the great thing about this, this line is that we are able to make some figures that may not have been made or may not have been made in a way that we recognize them. So expect to see some wrestlers added that may not have had a figure in the past. And don't worry, we're working on that. But in terms of the wrestlers that we collect, I collect Bruiser Brody, obviously. I think we're almost at the point where we've got every mass-produced Brody figure. So we're pretty comfortable with that one. Stan Hansen, his tag partner. We've got a pretty hefty Hansen collection as well. We do collect Dusty Rhodes, Junkyard Dog for obvious reasons, Arn Anderson, Bobby Heenan. On the Japanese side, I collect Minoru Suzuki, who's a bit more modern, Yoshihiro Takeyama, and then we've just, you know, we've got as many... We like to keep at least a figure of some of the more prominent guys, but then it's more collecting figure lines, and you know, our favourites are covered off in them. So we've got a complete set of the Noah Mogra House soft vinyls from the early 2000s. So that covers off on guys like Misawa, Kobashi, Akiyama. We collect the Karapro articulated figures, so that covers off on Riki Choshu, Jushin Liger, Tiger Mask. And then, you know, much like a lot of, you know, figure collectors, we've got that, you know, that shelf that's got, you know, a bunch of things that doesn't really fit in anywhere else. Guys like Great Sasuke, Antonio Inoki, Giant Baba, you know, the legends of Japanese pro wrestling. But even, you know, we try to get as many figures of you know, the guys that we love watching. So we've, you know, through those lines that we collect, we've tried to get as many, you know, Terry Funk figures, or, you know, Road Warrior figures, or, you know, and even, you know, guys that don't have figures. You know, we've tried to collect the mini figures from Japan. So, you know, the Destroyer Dick Beyer and guys like that, you know, may not have had their own figure. We've tried to collect them in some way, shape or form that we can display.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you've got a very wide array of American as well as Japanese and international guys, which is pretty impressive. I think most people tend to have one or the other. So that's pretty cool that you've got a pretty solid blend there.
Oh, it's an absolute mess at the moment. but yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm much like everyone, you know, it's, or everyone that collects, it's, you know, it's just finding those niches, those lines and those wrestlers that you identify with or that mean more to you and collecting them.
Absolutely. Adam, I know we're just about out of time, and I would just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me and to give us a little peek behind the curtain at what you're doing there. And when I started this this podcast, I guess, whatever, it was with the intent of just meeting and talking to people like yourself and trying to shine a light on everybody in the community as far as what everybody's up to and what they bring to the picnic, I guess you could say. So I just want to thank you for coming on. And where can people find you? Is there anything you'd like to plug before we get on out of here?
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity. I'm rarely going to pass up a chance to talk figures at any point, but you can find us on at Junk Shop Dog on Instagram and Twitter. Drop us a line if you know, even if you just want to talk figures or you're looking to get into Cara Pros. I know the vintage market's been a little bit patchy lately, and I know there's plenty of other great Instagram and Twitter pages that offer up Cara Pro figures as well. So we can't promise that you know, we can get you anything, but we can certainly point you in the right direction. We're also on Facebook at just Junk Shop Dog. But the main thing, I guess, now is have a look at our website, www.junkshopdog.com, which, you know, we've got all of our Bruiser Brody products available at the moment. The standard Poppy style figure, the silver limited run, t-shirts, hats, and obviously more to be added in the not too distant future.
Thank you again for joining us. And one of my traditions is I like to ask my guest to pick a wrestling theme of any promotion or wrestler, and we'll get out of here on that music.
There's only one we could pick at this point, and it'd have to be Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, you know, in honor of our first figure, Bruiser Brody.
You got it, man. Adam, thanks again, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Pleasure, mate.
Hey guys, before I get on out of here, I just wanted to say thank you and give a few shout outs. First off, I've got to say thank you to Adam for taking the time to talk to me. It was an awesome conversation, a total honor to be able to talk to Adam, and I just want to say I appreciate him and everything him and his wife are doing there. I can't encourage you guys enough to get over to his website and support him. Make a purchase. Shout out, Adam. I'd also like to send a shout out to Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Scott and Jeff, two awesome guys, great show. I know most of you guys probably, if you're listening to this, you listen to them already. But if you're not, check them out. They're definitely part of the reason that I was able to convince myself to do a podcast. Shout out, Scott and Jeff, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. And speaking of Scott, don't forget to check out Drunk Wrestling History. I know I butchered it last week. It's not that they're always not right. It's that they're not always accurate, but they're always drunk. But in my case, they are always right when I listen to them. And why wouldn't they be? Because I'm drunk. Shout out Drunk Wrestling History. And shout out to my buddy Drew Venzel and his wife Caitlin Venzel for their podcast, Tales from the Estate. It's one of my favorite podcasts and something that I never miss. It's something that you should be checking out if you aren't already. And Drew's one of the nicest guys. Go back and check out my interview with him last week if you missed it. Shout out Drew and Caitlin. Shout out Tales from the Estate podcast. I'd also like to say shout out to Nate over at Ring Skirts as well as Manny at Figure Kingdom. Both have been on the show. If you missed either one of those episodes, I'd encourage you to go back and check those out. But both of them are killing it lately with their figure photography, and they're both awesome guys that have helped me out a lot. Shout out Ring Skirts and shout out Figure Kingdom.
Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at achairshot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
and a
everything.
Friend in need is a pest.